All right. Very good. Well, that's great. Hey, let me ask you a question. And I usually when I do ask questions, I mean them, you know, and so I like responses and stuff. Tell me, why are you here today? Why did you come today? Why, you know, when you woke up and you said, hey, I'm going to go meet with this group of people in this room, chocolate brown room that might one day be a coffee shop. You know what I mean? What is it that made you say, or what is the reason for which you're here today? What's that? Okay. All right. Praise God. What else? What's that? Be with your family. Oh, there you are. Yeah, good, good. Be with your family. Good.
I came to be with my family too here today, but also I was kind of excited because last week we talked about the Lord's Prayer, and then when we had that accident with the football player, his dad said to him, you know, while we're meeting families, his dad said, you want to say a prayer? And he said, yeah, I do. And he said, let's say the Lord's Prayer. So we all said the Lord's Prayer on it. And later when I got home, kind of typed away, I was like, why didn't I think of something more to pray? Like, yeah. You know? And then that's I remembered good. That we talked about here that Jesus told us how we should pray. So yeah. Sometimes when we God's Word is living, when we talk about a certain thing, I like to see it come to, wait to see it during my week.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
When I don't at the time know it was a crime.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I could have done something more.
Yeah. Good. Very good. So yeah, hopefully God uses the time that we are together here to shape the rest of your life. But also, hopefully, the rest of your life and the rest of what happens on a day-to-day basis shapes what goes on here, right? Because the deal is, we're to bring with us whatever it is, good, you say, I've come because I just want to praise God. Praise God for the things He's doing. Or maybe the things that feel so heavy on you, you go, man, and you know what, you need to bring it. And then when you come with to meet with your family, us together, the body of Christ, that something happens there, hopefully. So what else? Are there other, you know, why are you here today? And you can be real honest about it. Like, because my parents made me go. No, that's okay. Anything else? Okay. Good. Good. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. That's awesome. Shannon? Anything else? That's awesome. Good. All right. Yeah. You know, and you know, because we probably all feel that way, right? You know. Yeah. You know, when you don't, that's very good. That's very good. Did you want to say anything more? We were all kind of going, yeah.
There's more.
Oh, that it. Yeah.
It's also a very short-lived
emotion. Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily guilt that drove us, but we only just recently started coming and we feel misguided.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just that camaraderie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you're not here, I do every Sunday afternoon, I start thinking through who wasn't there too. I do, you know, who wasn't there? What's that? Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, right. No, just because. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do because I miss it when you guys aren't here, and And I just, you know, I'm always thinking, boy, I hope everything's okay and good. But yeah, I love that. I got to write that long. Because what'd you say? Because a week worth of guilt isn't worth it? Is that how you said it? A week's worth of guilt. Oh, that's great. Well, you know what? I'd like us to just, we're going to kind of launch into a few things here this morning. We've got some stuff that we're going to share together here. Some symbols that remind us really of what this is all about. And we don't get to do that. We don't do that every week, but we are today. By the way, there are Bibles here too. If you need a Bible, don't have one, we're going to be working in a specific passage today. And I'd love for you to have one. We're gonna spend a little bit of time sharing, kind of maybe at a deeper level, in a little bit. And Brad's gonna lead us through that. Just kind of talking about what's going on in your life, you know, spiritually, and where are you connected with God? Where are you not? What are the ways we can help with some of that? We'll do that shortly, and you'll see why. But let's pray. I asked that question, why have you come? Because it's interesting. If all of us were to state some of the maybe several reasons, good or bad, and it's just interesting to hear sometimes why people do. And in the end, we want for you to be able to go away from a time that we spend together saying, I've connected with God in a deeper and a greater way today. If simply because the person that I was there with reflects something of the person of the character of God to me. And we read that in the Bible. And I don't, in whatever way God wants to do it, I just want us to be open to what God wants to do today. Okay? You may have come saying, I want this, I'm expecting that, I hope for. And those may be good things, those may be ill-informed things. I know oftentimes I show up, you know, that way. And we just want God to be able to do whatever He will. So let's take a moment. I'd like you and all of us together to maybe sit as silently as we can. You know, knowing the walls are shaking, okay? But just whatever it is, remember what Brad talked with us about last week? We breathe out those things that we just need to leave and give up and get rid of and breathe in God's Spirit as the Spirit will be present amongst us today. So let's do that. You do it quietly. And then I would love for just one person. Actually, Mike, who is one of our elders, can I call on you? Would you be willing to just pray out loud for us after a minute or so? Okay? And just lead us into the morning. Okay? Thank you. Amen. Sometimes when we are together, we work through big picture concepts and ideas, and sometimes we zero in on a particular passage or a saying or even a word that one of the biblical writers, one of the biblical authors, shares with us. And you know, it's important to do both. And in fact, what launched this whole thing was trying to get a better understanding, a better idea of the story here. What is this thing? What's going on? How are we a part of it? How are we connected to it? How do we step into the story? And last week, actually, there was something that I thought was very cool and I wanted to point out. It was in one of the passages Brad had us read. It's 1 Corinthians 15. If you have a Bible, you can turn there real quick. This isn't where we're going to be, but I just want to show this to you because this reminds us of the story that we've been talking about. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Now remember, I said the story is this amazing adventure. It's kind of this romantic guy movie, you know, and it's all about God's passionate pursuit of the love of His life, and we see smaller pictures of how that works out. And from the very beginning, we see the story is about a boy and a girl, Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. Right? And at one point, Jesus enters the scene, and Jesus shows us something of this love that God has, this passionate pursuit of God for the love of his life. And just like Adam fell into a sleep and God created the woman from him, so did Jesus enter the sleep of death and God created something out of him. So what does 1 Corinthians 15:45 say to us? Somebody read it. Okay, so did you catch that last week? Brad explained the theology of that statement, but did you also catch just the big picture of it? Did you catch? That's the story. Jesus is the second Adam. He's that picture. He pictures for us again this love relationship that God has dreamt about for so long. And as Eve was created out of Adam, so the church is created out of Christ. And I don't know if any of you caught that. So I wanted to point that out. It's a reminder of this story that we have been looking at. Today we're gonna look specifically at a passage that talks more about the Holy Spirit. And you'll find it in the book of Galatians, okay? And in this Bible, if you have a Journey Bible, anybody tell me where... Okay, we're close here. Galatians 5 is on page 1528 in the Journey Bible. That's where we'll start. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, this thing that most of us go, I don't have a clue what that is, I don't know what's about it. And yet the Holy Spirit is so important to what God wants to do, because the Holy Spirit is what brings about this relationship of oneness that God wants us to have with Him. And I'm not going to go back into all that. But in Galatians chapter 5, you would find this passage that we're going to look at today, verses 16 through Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Now, it's a long passage, and you could read it out of your NIV Bible. You could see it here on the screen. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read it to you out of a different translation, because I want you to hear it in a different sort of way this morning. And then when we talk through it and practice what it says, we'll work out of this passage here, out of your NIV translation. And you may have others too, but that's the one we're going to use today. But first, just listen. Now, if you want, you can follow along, that's fine. I tend to find it a little easier if you will just try to listen and maybe not be distracted trying to figure out where I am by going through that. Okay? Listen to what Paul says. This message, or this translation, is from the Message. Here's what he says. This is Paul talking to, by the way, a group of Christians, a group of Jesus followers in what today is Midwestern Turkey. You may have heard recently about Turkey in the news, and we kind of ticked them off. You know, the United States kind of, they're all ticked off at us and stuff. They're just north, kind of north and west of the country of Iraq, okay? But here's what Paul says to this early group of Jesus followers in that day. He says, "My counsel is this: live freely, animated lives motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of your selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is always at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. You see, these two ways of life, they compete against one another, so that you can't live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Okay. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit of God and so escape the erratic compulsions of that kind of existence? It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, homes that are divided, lives that are divided, small-minded, lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing people into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly, ugly blemishes of community. I could go on and on. And this isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But what happens when we live God's way? We bring gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal communities, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. It is crucified. Since this is the kind of life that we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we don't just hold on to it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts. Boy, that'd be very easy for us to do. Coming to church and talking about nice little things, but not living it out, right? He says, but work out its implication in every details of our lives. That means that we won't compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better or another one worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore that person, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might need forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best that you can with your own life. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous, common life with those who have trained you, sharing the good things that you have and that you experience. I'm gonna stop right there. There's something so central and so important that we understand and that we grasp about this. The way of the life of the Spirit of God, okay? And so we've been talking about that for a number of weeks. We've looked at what did Jesus say the Spirit of God would be doing in our lives, and hopefully we're experiencing some of that. Hopefully we're opening up to some of that. We looked even last week at, our very life and breath is all about God's Spirit. Within us. Today, one of the last things I want to look at is this passage in Galatians chapter 5 and 6. And I want us to understand some other very basic things about this work of God's Spirit in our life. I want to take a few minutes to do this. Galatians chapter 5, we started in verse 16. In verse 16, somebody read that verse out loud from your translation. Or actually, you can see it up here too, but somebody go ahead and read that. Okay. So walk by the Spirit. Some of your translations might read things like, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Live by the Spirit. You see that? Here's the idea. I think walk is the best word that we could use to translate there because there's a Greek word there that indicates this kind of grueling, tiring sort of walk that requires a lot of just perseverance and determination to say, I'm going to stick with this. It's the kind of, you know, blisters on your feet, sunburn on your forehead kind of walk. And that's the very word that Paul uses. He's saying, look, this life of the Spirit of God, it takes work. It takes work. And sometimes it's kind of hard and it's grueling. And it is a journey. It is a journey. That's part of why 5 years ago we chose the name Journey. Those very kinds of things. This pursuit of God, this life that God calls us to, it is a journey. So he says, walk, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And he goes on to talk about what all those things are. Now, I think a lot of times we have this idea that, well, if I just open myself up to God, whatever that means, God will just do this stuff in my life, right? Right? I mean, don't we tend to kind of think that, well, I just need to pray right, or maybe I just need to, I need to make sure I'm in church every Sunday, you know, right? Or whatever it is, and God will just start to do these things in my life. Anybody ever think that kind of way? Okay, three of us, that's good, I know. I do sometimes, so I'll just talk to you two, you know? Okay. No, the fact is, Paul is indicating, no, this is going to take work. It's a process, and sometimes it's a grueling one, okay? And it isn't the kinds of things that oftentimes we might tend to want to measure the spiritual temperature of ourselves and others. Hey, answer me this question. What are some of the things, what are the ways or the things we use to measure the spiritual temperature of other people, of those around us? We go, wow, hey, that person, now they got it. What are those things? What makes you think that of someone? Okay, their understanding of Scripture, their use of the Bible. Yup. What else? Okay. For some reason, they convey some air of, you know, I am like the cat's meow spiritually, right? You know? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Oh, yeah. You went to where all the smart people talk all the time and Bible school and all those things. Okay.
The way they live.
Okay. Sometimes just watching things they do. How about even things like just busyness or involvement in a lot of things that, at the church that they're part of. Right? It's like the more you do church things, the more, I don't know, people just tend to kind of think that of you, right? Have you ever thought that yourself? You know, knowledge of the Bible. You know, really... Our understanding of what God communicates here has nothing to do with our own ability to just know facts about the Bible. It has everything to do with being led by the Spirit of God. And that's what it is. Because I've known all kinds of people that know all kinds of stuff about the Bible. But I just can't imagine, given other things, that they're actually being led by the Spirit of God. Okay? The picture is better this. Somebody whose life just shows a pattern and shows a long-term pattern of just, I'm just going to continue to work to be faithful. Trying to walk with God and do the things God desires me. Be the person God desires me to be. Learn the ways of the Spirit of God. Be about, you know what I mean? It's long-term. We've got to look at the big picture in people's lives. And that's the very word. It's the concept Paul's using here. Walk. Walk. He says, by the way, if you're doing this, you will not, you see it up there in the right corner, you will not gratify. The way Paul really says it, you will never, when you walk, when you live by the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, you will never do these kinds of things. You will never be drawn first to your own flesh, to your own selfishness. Which indicates to me that I spend an awful lot of time not being led by the Spirit, not walking according to the Spirit, right? Because I said last week, when we are led by the Spirit, according to the Bible, we never fail. The Holy Spirit will always lead us in triumph in Christ. So man, I go, well, obviously in my life, there are a lot of times then I'm not. And in fact, then I begin looking at this list and I go, there are some things there that I recognize in my own life. So, verses 19 to 21, somebody read them off out loud from your translation. What are they? He You see, it's easy for us to go, oh, man, I don't do most of those things, right? Okay? Right? Two things. Remember what Jesus said about stuff like this? He said, you don't actually have to physically carry out the act of those things. If it's here, if you're feeling that hatred toward another person, it's as though you're murdering that person. Remember that kind of stuff? If you are thinking lustful, dirty, cheap sex thoughts in your mind, in your heart about another person, you don't actually have to, you know, complete that act of actually going to bed with a person. Jesus says, it's already happened. It's already happened. So these are deep and penetrating things. It's easy for us to just kind of blow through a list like that and go, well, yeah, I'm pretty good, you know. And I really like the way it's translated in the message here. That's why I read it to you. But now look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Aaron, probably scroll down here a little bit. Okay, right up there where it says, since we live by the Spirit, that's where we are. Somebody read verse 25 out of your Bible. Okay. Since we live by the Spirit, since our life, here's what Paul's saying, since our life is in the Spirit of God, that's where life is. All these other things will result in death and brokenness and hurt and decay. And since life is in the Spirit of God, and really, positionally, that's where God sees us. God has made us, anyone who has surrendered their life to Christ, who recognizes all these, God says, you are positionally, you're part of my family. So since that is true of you, in fact, this is they call these like conditional sentences. In a way, Paul could be saying, if that is true of you, if your life is in the Spirit, if you know what I'm talking about, and he's kind of winking at you going, you know, you get it, then keep in step with the Spirit. And I love this. I love that phrase there, keep in step. It's like he's saying this. Keep in line. It's like following a drum major. It's the same kind of word that would be used for like soldiers marching in order and in a line. He says, keep in line with where the Spirit is leading, is taking you. It's not a passive thing that just happens to people. Like I said before, it's something that you must actively step out and kind of spiritually sweat and perspire a little bit. It takes work on your part. You guys, it is hard to love people. It is hard sometimes not to feel hate in your heart against someone who's done something to you. It is a struggle. I can't imagine there wouldn't be a man in here who wouldn't honestly say, you know what? Yeah, those things, images, all that stuff that I see on TV and the culture in which I live, that can be a real battle for me. It can be a real struggle. I mean, all these things. And he's saying it requires work for you to keep at it, to keep living this life that is led by the Spirit of God. Now, look at verse 26. I could go on, but let's keep moving. Verse 26. What does he say in verse 26? Somebody read that out loud.
Let us not become conceited or provoking
him. Yeah. Does that seem out of place to you? You know, as you just read the passage, you kind of go, did he like step away for a cup of coffee or something, and then he comes back and he picks it up and he kind of lost his place? Seriously, does it feel like that a little bit? Like, why is that there? It does. I find that a lot when I read Paul in particular. And here's what I think. I think Paul is saying, you know, after all that, don't be spiritually stuck up. Right? Don't be spiritually stuck up. Envy and rivalry have nothing to do with keeping in step with the Spirit. But do you know what? When our spirituality is measured by how much Bible we know and how many things we're involved in, Do you know how easy it is to become envious and rival, you know, and develop rivalries with people? Isn't that stupid? But it's very easy to do. And it happens all the time. So Paul says, look, don't be spiritually stuck up. Perhaps we're measuring ourselves the wrong ways. I want to show you how really this whole thing fits in. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. Somebody read that to me out loud. I know we didn't do it up here, but back up to verse 15. What's it say? Anybody?
If you keep on fighting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed.
Okay. So you see, he's on to something. Maybe there was something happening with the people here in Galatia, and he sees it, and he's concerned. They're kind of biting and devouring. Maybe they're measuring each other all these kinds of ways. Somebody read verse 14. What does he say there? Paul simply says, don't you get it? This whole thing is about loving one another. You know, what is all of life? That was Jesus. Jesus was asked that once. Jesus said, it's simple. Love God, love your neighbor. So Paul says, yeah, this thing is all about loving your neighbor as yourself. So quit biting and devouring and tearing one another apart. And he says, because that is all evidence of a life not led by God's Spirit. Now let me tell you what it does look like. And then so he comes back to that. He says, now don't be all stuck up. Because if it's happening in your life, it isn't because of you. You know? It's because of what the Spirit of God is doing. So this life of walking and keeping in step is all about loving our neighbor as ourselves. So how do we do that? Here's how we're going to finish the morning. How do we do that? First of all, I just want to say, this whole thing about the Holy Spirit of God, it's not some like out there kind of concept. It's not some, I don't know, weird thing that we just can't quite figure out. It is simply the choice to walk in what sometimes develops blisters and you get sunburnt and it's just difficult. It's the kind of thing you have to just persevere at. You've got to keep at it. And here are three examples Paul gives us. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Somebody read that out loud. Chapter 6, verse 1. Okay. It's idea number one of restoring. Here is one of the clearest ways that you can live, that your life is evidence that you're keeping in line or you're keeping in step with what the Spirit of God wants to do. When people are caught up in something, when their lives are a mess, when sin is ravaging their lives, you and I are to do what? Restore them. Restore them. So when I ask you a question the last couple weeks, what is one of the ways that we could be a Spirit-empowered, a Spirit-driven church? Here it is right here. Here's one example. We care enough to say to each other, hey, I see this going on in your life. Hey, I'm concerned for you this way. Hey, I think your life, you know, whatever. And when it's clear that that's happened, we restore them. Restore people humbly and gently. The word here that Paul uses for sin means to take a false step. Back to that following the drum major. You know, any of you were in marching band? Did anybody do that when you were growing up? I never did. Okay, one, a couple. I never did. But you know, you're trying to stay. I mean, you want to look like you're all together, right? And when all of a sudden, you know, your group turns and goes that way, and you go this way. That's what he's saying. It's like that's the picture. You've turned the wrong way. You've gotten out of step. You've taken a false step. Restoring each other. And how do we do that? Humbly and gently. Do you think that has something to do with what Paul was saying about don't be a spiritual stuck up, right? You know, don't be spiritually arrogant. The way you do that is to say, man, you know what? That could be me, you know. What just happened to you, that could be me. and I want to help you, help restore you. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to think for a minute. Think maybe about a person in your life who you could do this kind of thing with and for. Or maybe you need someone to help restore you. And so the other part of that is when Paul says to us, you know what, confess your sins to each other. Open your lives up. That this kind of thing will happen. You wanna do that with the right person? Confess your sins to one another? Maybe today, in a few minutes, we're all going to respond. We're going to kind of use this table, and if you want to participate with us. And I'm seeing all kinds of problems right here. Yeah. Okay. What we're going to do? I'm going to have Carrie in that box right behind you. There are some slips of paper, and actually, just give me the box. Yeah, we'll just do that. Maybe there's something that you need to just kind of get rid of. You need to confess. When you come up here in a little bit, you can take one of these and write it on there and maybe write the name of a person with whom you're going to do that. That'd be one possibility. Or maybe you just write the name of a person that you say, I want to go to them and I want to help gently and humbly restore them. That's the deal. And that's grueling type of stuff, isn't it? I mean, that's the kind of thing. Sometimes you get blisters on your feet and you get a sunburn on your head. That's not easy. But Paul says that's one example of it. All right, the next thing. Somebody read verse 2. There's just three of them. Here's the second one. There's that law of Christ thing again. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. So he says, bear each other's burdens. Restore one another. That's one way of keeping in step with the Spirit. Second thing, another way I should say, because I'm sure there's more, but Paul's talking about these right here. Another way is bear each other's burdens. This implies that we know each other a little better than we would if we always just came and sat in a row on a Sunday morning and didn't really connect, right? I mean, it implies that we know each other a little more intimately. That I can know what your burden is. That you feel comfortable enough with me to really unload that on me and say, I need help carrying this thing. So here's one thing we're going to do. We've been making a practice of this more and more. And just sharing what maybe some of those things are and trying to be honest. And it may not, I don't know, it could be all kinds of things. We've just started to kind of call it family time. I'm going to have Brad kind of lead us just for a couple minutes and I don't know, let's just share together maybe what some of those things are. You guys, this is it right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. We say we want to be a Spirit-empowered church. We say we want to walk according to the Spirit. Here's one way that we can do it right now. Okay?
The school that I went to that taught me how to preach a sermon, and class after class after class I had showed me this specific like format or formula in how you preach or teach a passage of Scripture. And one of the most important elements in that format is this idea of application. And here's what that is. How does this passage of Scripture make a difference for you, like Monday through Saturday? What difference does it make? How are you gonna live differently at work? And what are you gonna do differently when you get home and eat lunch? And part of that formula, part of that format, I think is really good because I think it's important that you kind of work through this together, and that that it doesn't just happen here, but it happens at home, and it doesn't just happen here, but it happens at work, and it kind of infiltrates all parts of your life. But part of that, I think, is crap, because a lot of people, here's what happened. I've done it a lot. I've used that format and that formula a lot. Here's what happens. People with significant, Paul uses the word burdens. People with heavy loads walk in here on a Sunday or whatever day we get together, and they have these heavy things that are just weighing down on their lives. And they come here and they hear some passage of Scripture, and they walk out with just as heavy of a burden, just carrying the exact same load that they came in with. And Paul says, as followers of Jesus, live out this law, do this thing, care for each other, love each other. And when you get together and you meet with other people, carry each other's burdens. Help alleviate one another's burdens. So there might be people who walked in here carrying a heavy burden, and I don't want you to leave with that. I want to help carry that, and I want each other, maybe someone else here, to maybe help you carry that. I want to spend some time in it, and I know it's really hard in this setting maybe to do some of that. But I want to ask if there's anything that we can help carry for you. I know last week, I'm just going to share one. Last week, this is the Smith family. We prayed for them last week. Rana's dad had a really intense surgery on Friday. And we prayed last week for a surgery. Surgery went okay. It was a heart surgery, very invasive heart surgery. Everything went well on that end, but some other problems arose. Pretty significant problems, right? They found his kidneys aren't working. Not to an extent that he's going to be on dialysis forever, but they're not sure. That could be a very real possibility. How can we help carry some of that? Yeah. Is there anything? I mean, you're going back and forth from the hospital all the time, which is, 25 minutes away. Is there anything we can help? I mean, with maybe with dinners, meals, anything like that? Is there any way that would that be helpful? Or rides to school? Or yeah? Okay. Your girls need a ride to Journey North tonight. Can anybody do that? Anybody else going that could help out? Greg, awesome. Thanks. Why don't you guys connect maybe afterwards and make sure you get all the details and stuff. Okay. That's a great idea. There's this, we see throughout the scriptures this idea that people come together and they lay hands on one another when they pray. And it denotes this idea of closeness, of unity, of oneness, and encouragement. So, Rebecca, I think that's a great idea. Anyone that's close, why don't we just spend some time praying? Anybody that wants to pray, go ahead. And in a minute, I'll just finish this up. God, as we work to carry each other's burdens, as we work to follow, to stay in step with your Spirit, God, help us to see ways in which we can be there for the Smith family. Maybe even a step farther than just praying for them, which we know is huge, God. But God, maybe there's other ways in which you would long for us to step out and to take some of that weight, maybe with meals or rides, or maybe there's other things or different things that they need. God, help us to listen well, help us to see, and to help meet some of those needs. Lord, God, we lift them up, and we pray that you would help us to carry some of this weight. And it's the name of your Son, who we follow, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are there any other burdens? Yeah, wow. Okay. And that's Tyler. Is there anything we can do to encourage Tyler or you? Or okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Anything else? Any other ways in which you were carrying a heavy burden when you walked in? Ways in which we can. Somebody over here? Yeah. Very well. You know, he's there, he gets tension, the cancer is just
My cousin right now, is for my mom.
Yeah.
She was so far off, but she was having disease. So that's a very physical, aching, uncomfortable disease. And so she had been pretty run down by that. And then my family, they are pretty estranged from their family, so she's been for a lot of my sister and I don't know. And they were 3 hours away. My sister was in Las Vegas. And then I just the mom. My mom's not getting any support. My mom's not getting any therapy. And it's just too much for me.
You know what, let's lay hands on you again. See you again. God, thanks for Josh and Shannon and the kids. And Lord, I pray that, God, as a church, we might help to just carry some of that weight, carry some of that burden. And together, God, we could just follow closer to your Spirit, God, and draw closer to you. God, I pray that maybe even right now, as a result of us just gathering together and praying, God, I pray that the Coopers would maybe feel your presence in a deeper, more real way. You know? This is real stuff. This is a church. This thing we do when we gather together. We're not kidding around. I mean, it's real. We care for each other in a way that somebody said it earlier. Is family. That's who we long to be, and I believe that's who Jesus called us to be. That's what it means for us to gather. That's what it means for us to be a part of this thing called the church. Do you want to do some of this stuff?
Yeah, I would. If you were continuing reading that passage, by the way, Paul says, each person should carry their own load. And just so you don't get confused, what he's saying is, there's a reasonable load limit, I guess, that each person can do, you can take on. And it isn't centered on you, it's on your role in helping others be restored or bearing the burdens of others. You know? Each of us is to play our part in it, is what Paul's speaking to. And you know, that could be something as simple as just praying for each other. I think it's good for us also to kind of flesh out what those prayers really are. In fact, in our house church is happening, we're quite late as well, right? But you can be part of just getting to know each other in a more intimate way, to be able to have yourself in a position where you can do that kind of thing. But in my house church this past week, somebody shared about some issues in their family, and it was very, I said, well, let's pray. And it struck me, you know, it's very easy just to pray for them, which is the first thing perhaps you ever do. But what is, how do we really give genuine, true expression to what we're asking God to do, but what we won't step out and say, here's how I'm going to do that. So it could be something as simple as buying a gallon or two of milk for somebody who you know financially they're really struggling. I saw it happen. I saw a person with great need to pull one gallon of milk because I don't know, I mean, we're all in a situation or in a setting where there's a lot of financial struggle around us, right? So, guys, it's there are all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of ways. Restore one another, carry each other's burdens, all these things. These are the ways that we live out of the spiritual world. It's brilliant and difficult. Here's how I want to finish. We have two symbols here on this table. Bread and juice. The bread symbolizes the broken and torn body of Christ. The bread and the juice symbolizes the blood of Christ and shed. This is how Christ bore our burden of sin, right? He came and he said, I will take your burden of sin. I'm going to restore you in right relationship with your Creator. God made it possible that we can have that kind of oneness in relationship with God, to surrender our lives to Him, recognizing the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, saying, Lord, I want to live this life to be true. So if that is you, I want to invite you to be part of this table today, but I want you to do it in a little different way. I want you to come and grab a piece of bread and dip it in here and take it to someone as a way of saying, I want to help bear the burden of death. Have, whatever that might be. You may not even know what you're doing. I want to help bear that burden. Christ is born my burden, I want to help bear you. It could be a way of saying, I want to help you. I know you're struggling with something. There may be a sin issue in your life. I want to help you with that. I want to help restore you. It could be, you might be saying to that person, I have something that I want to share. Christ has taken my sin. But we are commanded as a way of giving expression to living in the freedom of that. We're told it's good sometimes to confess our sins to them. Okay? So, you know, maybe there's just some. This is a conversation I want to have with you. And maybe you can. It could be any of those things. A burden, helping to restore. I have something I want to share. We all want you to help restore me. And it all happens through the body and the blood of Christ. Would you agree? So here's what's going to happen. We're going to play a song. Oh, and by the way, if you want to, you have something you need to write down, a name, maybe that person's not here today. Maybe somebody you want to help restore, or a burden you want to help, just grab a pen, a paper, write your name on it, fold it up, and leave it on the table. But here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to play a song. And the song is going to play for about 6 minutes, so you've got plenty of time. You know, prayerfully work through this. Prayerfully respond. Give time, you know, to go and hand this to somebody. And we probably can't all go immediately at once. It wouldn't work, right? But when there's the opportunity to do it. And the lyrics to the song actually are going to be on the screen, I think. No? Okay. It may or may not be. Do we have the song at all? No, we don't. Oh, sorry. Okay. I do. Well, you know what then? No, let me do it. It's okay. Let's just do this. We don't do it. If I work for you, we'll just start it. And if music starts at some point, good. That's what they do. Because none of that diminishes this and all the other things. So let me pray a prayer of thanks.
Would you give the same No,
I would say just hand it to one person. Okay? Hand to one person. If you've been handed one and you want to go do that for someone else, please do. If after a few minutes, look, I mean, you know, I may not have been handed one, and that's okay. I'll just come up and get one myself too. Okay? So, or if you hand a few, just get one. It's okay. Let's, Brian, will you pray?
God, we see your presence in the faces of one another. God, we see your love in each other. We hear your voice in each other's voices. We long to feel your touch in the ways we care for each other. God, I pray as we take a few minutes to recognize how you bore our burdens, how you bore our burdens to the point of death. God, I pray that we would, in the same way, remember how you called us to care for each other and to bear one another's burdens. In the name of Jesus, whose body and blood we celebrate. Amen.